Well, our dear friend Yishai Fleischer, who's an international spokesman for the Chevron Fund and has been a wonderful friend and somebody who has given us tremendous perspective when it comes to what's happening in Israel and to and with Jews all around the world, is with us live via telephone. Before I introduce Yishai formally, I do want to reiterate, and this is one of the reasons I asked him to come on this morning, I want his reaction to this. I do want to reiterate a theme that we've been discussing since Friday, and that is that as we, Jews here in the United States, prepared for and lived through, so to speak, a day of hate here in the U.S., at the very same time and now, our brothers and sisters in Israel are surrounded by a day of hate every single day. Yishai Fleischer, a pleasure to welcome you back to JM in the AM.
How you doing, Nachum? What's going on?
Baruch Hashem. Everything's good on this end. I hope you're well. This is a theme that I've been promoting and trying to drum into the hearts and minds of our listeners for the last few days, and I wanted your comment on it, frankly. You know, we were focused, I'm sure you heard about it, on this supposed day of hate and its potential activities this past weekend. And then, of course, all of us heard the news here over the weekend about what has happened in Israel, just another of the tremendous sacrifices that our brothers and sisters have made, literally brothers, as we've seen so many cases now of brothers being taken by the enemy. And I was curious about your reaction to the fact that as we were focused on a day of hate, you and our brothers and sisters in Israel are surrounded by a day of hate every day.
Well, you know, my general line is to try to stay positive in situations. But I would, in this case, just for a second, and then I'll pull back from it. I have to add that also we have a day of shibushim, a day of messing up our kind of public works that's coming from the Israeli left. So we have both, you know, jihadist terrorism that we face, and now also kind of a muck up of the works of the state of Israel coming from folks who don't like the political alignment that's ruling the country right now. And then the day of hate in America. So the Jewish people are definitely in a Purim-like scenario. So it's good news that it's Adar, because that gives us hope that when we face these kind of scenarios where there's a lot of hate drummed up against us, that we come out victorious, and that we're not going to succumb to it.
And sometimes
we also learn from Yitro, from Jethro, we learn that the hate that's focused on the Jewish people comes to tell us that there is a God, because a lot of these folks are anti-God, and they see the Jewish people as the representative of Hashem, and therefore they're focused to try to stop that. So that's also kind of proof that Hashem is in this world, ironically.
Yishai Fleischer is with us. What you're referring to is Israel's National Day of Disruption. As you just put it, the left has called for and has gone ahead and demonstrated in the streets of major cities and blocked traffic and disturbed train schedules, et cetera, and that continues to go on with a reaction, of course, by security and military. I don't know about military, but certainly security forces throughout the day. But I get it. Believe you me, when we have internal struggles, when we have, you know, difficulties with our own brethren, I know you have plenty to say about that, and I totally agree with you that it can be very disturbing and a very big challenge. But my point was, and continues to be, that Jews around the world, and specifically here in the United States, where, again, we enjoy or continue to enjoy, you know, the lap of luxury compared to so many other places. I get that there are problems and there's, you know, increased anti-Semitism, but let's put things in perspective here. And we were focused on what potentially could happen, etc. And then, of course, we hear about the terrible tragedies, yet another one in Israel. And I say to myself, you know, we're worried about a day of hate, you know, from our enemies. You're surrounded by a day of hate every single day in Israel, and I think people need to keep that in perspective. So I get when there's an internal battle, as you described it, but I also want to reiterate that as much as we think that the enemy is approaching or near us, you're surrounded by the enemy 24 hours a day.
I agree with exactly with every one of your points. I would just add that, and it says it again and again in the Torah, that when there is friction between the Jewish people internally, that gives strength to our enemies. So that therefore I mentioned that to point out that, like, in this moment where we need to really come together, we also have internal tensions, and they add to the sense. Like, for example, you heard Nasrallah a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, you know, made statements to the effect saying, you know, Israel is about to have an internal disillusion and you know, be destroyed from within. I guess this kind of massive disruption, and he's using that as fodder to give him strength to continue his war. Never mind that he's living in a bunker, and above him, the Lebanese society is really self-destructing. Right. But the point that I'm making is that at this time we really need. I never liked it when they did over too much talk about Achdus. I used to not like it, but I have to say, like, that's what we need right now. We need a little bit more Achdus. We need a little bit more Achdus. We need a little bit more of understanding between the Jewish people, between the diaspora in Israel, between the various parts of the Israeli society, between the kind of secular, you know, left and the religious right. And there's these rifts, sociological rifts that cut between us, but we have to overcome them right now and really, you know, practice Ahavat Israel right now. So I think that, you know, like, for all listeners today, I would say if there's a day of disruption or a day of rage or a day of jihad, we have to come back with a day of Achdus, a day of Ahavat Israel, a day of not judging fellow Jews, a day of, coming together, liking, you know, fellow Jews and just being, you know, just kind of like trying to eke out a positive feeling. But sorry, sadly, to my disappointment, the media is really, you know, not healthy.
Right. They're fueling the fire.
They're fueling the fire. There's no sweetness. There's no sweetness. And that's not good. We need to come back to place. And I've told people that I'm close within the government of Israel. I said to them, we've got to come out with statements of sweetness right now. We've got to look a little Ahavat Israel, a little like being thankful, and also turning to Hashem in general and saying, listen, there's a huge wave of anti-Semitism now in the world. It's everywhere. You could feel it everywhere. Not here in beautiful Gush Etzion, actually, you know, within our town, but definitely out there on the roads and around the world. And I meet people on campus in the United States that are really having a lot of pain. We need to give them strength right now. That strength is going to come through
no question about it. Yishai Fleischer is with us from Israel, and it's interesting because many people, I mean, plenty of Jewish leadership, responsible Jewish leadership, have expressed over the years and decades how they are not worried about the Jewish people in difficult times when the enemy is, you know, down our necks. We have a way of uniting. They are concerned about the people, about our people during peaceful times. And I think one of the challenges here, as you just described, is trying to convince people that we're not in a peaceful time. You know, folks, wake up. The enemy is, you know, rearing its ugly head. We need to unite. But I guess, you know, without, thank God, you know, full-scale war and without, you know, that type of challenge right now, it's hard to convince people that the enemy is bearing down on us. So that's a challenge.
Well, there's something a little unwell about us if we don't see that. That if in 1 month 14 Jews have been murdered, if we don't understand what the implications, what that means, then there's something a little bit like off with us. Our senses are a bit off when we can't, you know, react. And part of it is also an effort to have taken away in the last many years a Jewish rage as an option, as even something we can discuss.
Right.
It's like something that it's like a totally, like, you can't even say it. And without feelings of gewalt, you know, shry, without feelings of like, no, this is, you know, and the kind of feelings, by the way, that Mordechai showed when he heard it about the edict, he was not, calm about it. And, he reacted. He came out and he even embarrassed himself and embarrassed Esther. And Esther, you know, came out and was like, hey, you got to calm down. This doesn't look good. And he's like, no. In a time like this, We have to go all out. We have to cry. So 14 Jews have been murdered, and we know, Nachum, to your point earlier, we know how many more such potential murderers there are, because sadly, the state of Israel has allowed a true jihadism to be raised within it. We have many a no-go zones. Some of them are official, like areas A and B, and other ones are not official, like Isawiya in Jerusalem. There are huge areas that you go in there, you're going to be killed for being a Jew. And that's messed up. And to remedy that, we have a new, you know, nationalist government that wants to remedy that. But as we engage that problem of the no-go zones and the jihadism, the illegal weapons and the hate teachings that have been going on, the brainwashing, as we engage that, of course, the wasps, if you've ever dealt with a hornet's nest or a wasp nest, if you try to get rid of it, well, they come out at you.
Yeah.
And so we're facing that at this time. But it's going to take, like, a 30-year problem is going to take more than a month and a half to uproot. And that's why we, again, need our own society to be with us. We're having that challenge as well. So it's definitely a challenging moment here in Israel, and it's taking its emotional toll on people. I was just kind of in the shopping center downstairs, and I saw just people were just struggling to understand what's going on right now. But I thank Hashem that it's Adar. And Adar is not just a clown around now month. It's also, you know, the month of Jewish victory over these kind of forces. So we should really look to the Megillah to give us a lot of strength at this time, and we need it.
Yishai Fleischer is with us. You mentioned earlier about how we need dialogue, sweetness, etc. You're one of those people that welcomes peaceful dialogue and an attempt to be understanding. With anybody who differs from you politically, you've had some, you know, pretty well-known encounters, both in Israel and other places, with people who disagree with you and your perspective. But, you know, you're ready to hear them, certainly ready to listen to them. I'm not saying you're ready to be convinced by them, but you're ready to listen to them. And they, in turn, I hope, have acted in the same way toward you. Why do we have less of that now? Or, and you could tell us, you're on the front lines of this, you could tell us if in fact we do have less of it, or is it really just a product of the media, that the media is not allowing people to sit down and have peaceful dialogue at this point? They're just, you know, heating up the rhetoric so much that one feels that, you know, it's not their role to do anything other than express themselves through anger.
You remember the old days when Israel used to receive, like, movies in the movie theaters, like, sure, 6 months to a year after America? Remember that?
Sure. Watched many a movie that way.
Right. So that's what we have right now with the polarization that struck America in the Trump years. There was really, in my opinion, I'm just giving you my opinion and my analysis, which there was a learned method to deal with. How do you deal with a government that you don't like, and that is to create complete and utter havoc and just give no quarter, no rest, and just give that next government absolutely no chance to succeed. And that's the playbook that's being played out right now. And the media is not a responsible entity any longer. It's certainly not the kind of stuff that I learned about when I was a kid in America, about the media being the anchor of democracy. Today it's a money-making enterprise or a very agendized enterprise, and people are, you know, plus add to that the phone and the Twitter and the pace of things, and so it's just it's like a fevered pitch, and it's hard for people to come down, calm down, and to come down from that kind of that atmosphere. So you know, all together, it's just it's like a very excited time, overexcited sometimes. And so there's not a lot of voices that say, you know, and there's misrepresentation also about what this government wants to do, as though it wants to destroy democracy. And there's, frankly, you know, just to be honest with you, just to kind of flush it out fully, we also have a sociological clash here in Israel between the group that is today in power, which is the ultra-Orthodox, the Haredim, the settlers, the Mitnachlim, the Mitashvim, the Sephardim, our Sephardic brothers and sisters, and the traditional, like, Likud type, between them and a certain entrenched secular Ashkenazi elite that really built this country in many ways and also is in the key positions in all of the various industries and arts and media and courts and army and culture. And so there is a clash of what's called civilizations, And I've boiled it down to the following three options about how to move forward from this clash of civilizations. Biblical options. One option is that we do what King Saul did. King Saul went crazy against David, fought him. King David was always trying to connect with him, with trying to marry his daughter Michal, trying to be friends with his son Yonatan, trying to empower Mephibosheth, whoever it was. But it didn't work, and at the end, Saul killed himself. And that's what you're hearing in some quarters of the Israeli left, saying we're leaving the country, we're shutting it down, we're pulling out the money. That's a kind of suicide, which is like, I'm just quitting this whole thing called Zionism. So that's option number one. Option number two is that we have a split country, two countries, like we did in the times of the Kingdom of Israel and the Kingdom of Judah. And there were voices sometimes from the religious world saying, let's split off and create a Kingdom of Judah. And other people today, you could see that they're not happy with the way the direction the country is going. And it's like, let's just split up Tel Aviv and Jerusalem and have two different kind of states. One will be called Israel, one will be called Judea, you know, that kind of thing. And we've seen that in the past. And yet a third option, a biblical option, is Zvulun and Issachar. One was the economic engine. The other one was the Torah engine. And together they saw themselves as completing one another. And gave each other their part. One was today would be, let's say, Tel Aviv is the economic engine of Israel, the cultural engine of Israel, and you have Yerushalayim and the mountains, and that's the Torah and the tradition. And the truth is that the dialectic between those two is actually a beautiful thing. Israel's beautiful because it has a Mashar and because it has Neve Tzedek in Tel Aviv. So it's actually, or Rothschild. It's actually the fact that Israel contains both of those that are beautiful. And I think that that's really the real only path forward if we want to keep this thing united. I know I certainly do, and I think millions of people do. And so we have to start, with a kind of, I think we have to pull back from our ideological positions and go back to a position of Ahavat Israel, liking the other person for what he is without trying to change him. And really appreciating the fact that Israel is Jerusalem and Tel Aviv at the same time. If we can learn to love that image, I call it the postcard of Jerusalem and Tel Aviv together. If we can love that postcard, then I think we can get past these days of rage.
So the Jerusalemites have to have a greater appreciation for Tel Aviv, and the Tel Avivians have to have a greater appreciation for Jerusalem, and hopefully, as you just said, that actually can happen. It's a really interesting perspective. That was really nice and much appreciated. Yishai, is there still the strong religious Gentile support for Israel that you've described to us in the past?
Nachum, not this past Shabbos, but the Shabbos beforehand, I had a very famous American Gentile at my house for Shabbos. His name is Salatin, Joel Salatin. He is a famous American farmer. He's developed all kinds of farming techniques that are kind of famous in that community. And for some people, some of your listeners, they would not even believe that Joel Salatin was at my house. Other people have never even heard of him. But he's a very famous farmer, and he's a real Gentile. And he came to Israel in order to teach us about better farming practices, especially in Judea and Samaria, so that the land could turn more green, be more successful, and that our farmers would be more successful, and that our land is held on by the Jewish people. And he flew over here, brought in by a non-Jewish organization that wants to connect lovers of Israel, Bible lovers, to Eretz Israel and to help us here. And so, it was actually, amazing Shabbat. And he was like, to me, like a Yitro. He wasn't there to teach us Torah. He was there to teach us a system, just like Yitro. He came to teach us a better system. And this man was like wise and successful like Yitro. And there are people like that. But it's all predicated on one thing, which is the love of the Bible. There are a few other things that bring people close to Israel, but that's one of the major ones. And when we promote Israel and the Jewish people as the people of the Bible, then a lot of people can connect it. But when we just promote ourselves as totally detached from those values, then we're detaching ourselves from Jewish history, from what makes a lot of people understand Israel, which is the most famous book in the world, which is the Bible, and of course from Hashem himself, who gives us the blessing. So So there are millions and millions of people that love Israel, millions and millions of people, but they look to us for leadership. Okay.
Yep.
They look to us for leadership and not the other way around. And yep. So when we tell them, yes, we're the land of the Bible, we're the land of blessings. I'll give you an example. Sometimes like Christian folk come to me and they say, we want to bless you. And I just stop them and say, listen, I'm the one who's supposed to be blessing you. Right. Let me bless you. That's right. My job. Right. I'm part of the kingdom of priests. Let me bless you properly. And they go, okay. And I bless them. And so that's our job. Our job is actually to realize that we're not at the same period of the Galut totally. We're in a period of spreading out our light, of teaching our ways. Rabbi Yitzchak Ginzburg from Chabad calls it the fourth revolution, fourth Torah revolution. And it goes into a whole mahalach. A whole system explains that it's now time to teach the Gentiles, you know, the truth of Hashem and Torah within proper frameworks. But in any case, there are millions of people that want to be close to us, but we have to know that they're not going to do it of their own accord. We have to go out there. Last point on that, I just want to tell you, I was speaking at Shlomo Katz's, Rabbi Shlomo Katz's synagogue 2 weeks ago, and that week was when those two brothers, the two children brothers, were murdered. But that Mamash Friday, before Shabbos, I saw a video on my phone, maybe 20 minutes before Shabbos, a video of the Israeli rescue team in Turkey cutting a ceiling of a broken building. They're inside some kind of tunnel, say, like a building that fell upon itself. And they're inside this building, and they're cutting through a ceiling. And as they finish cutting through it, they bring the ceiling down, and a child, a living child, comes out of this, is like, you know, comes totally whole out of this bubble. It mamish looked like childbirth, you know?
Right.
And I thought to myself, they just ran over our children. The Muslims just ran over our children with a car to kill them. And here we are in the Turkish or northern Syria lands, saving Turkish Muslim children and bringing them to the world. That's on Yisrael. And I didn't want to say it in a haughty way, look at us, we're better. Right. No, I was just like, wow, that's our nation. That's what we're about. We're about bringing light into this world. And that image, I said to myself, wow, that's on Yisrael even in the darkest time.
That was reiterated, that was paraphrased by the prime minister when he visited that Shiva home. And it's hard to believe, you know, the way we grew up, Yishai, it's hard to believe that human beings can grow up hating life the way they do. The way the enemy does. When you're taught to love life, when you're taught to behave in a manner that you just described, the rescue workers that were in Turkey putting their own lives in danger to save another human being. And it's just hard for us to fathom that the enemy can hate life to the degree that they do, that they're willing to sacrifice their own life, they're willing to sacrifice anyone else's life, and that the hatred is so great. But I guess that's the way.
Nachum, I just got a phone call a few hours ago from a German newspaper called Der Spiegel. And they wanted to interview. They want to interview Minister Ben-Gvir, who I advise.
Right.
And she said, I said to her, okay, well, give me the names of the reporters or reporter who's going to do it. So she gave me two names. I looked up the first reporter. So within a few weeks ago, this reporter wrote an article quoting some sociologist, and the title was, "If you want to understand," this is in Der Spiegel, a German newspaper. "If you want to understand the Israeli settlers, look to the Ku Klux Klan. That's the title. And I'm like, I told her, I said, you know, no thanks. We're not interested in doing an interview with you guys. But like, I thought to myself, a German newspaper calling us basically Nazis for living in our homeland.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm just like, I'm like, my God, what a world. What a crazy thing. And I wanted to tell her, I'm like, you should be ashamed of yourself. Should be ashamed of yourself that 80 years after the Holocaust, you guys are writing this in your newspapers. Don't you have any shame that we Jewish people, after almost being destroyed in your lands and almost totally destroyed in Europe and almost our nation totally destroyed, that now that Hashem has brought us back to our homeland, to what He promised, and then that we're coming back to our place. Even the Quran recognizes it's our land. And you're calling us these, you're disparaging our people in such a way, such a blood libel atmosphere. I was just like, it's shocking. So it's just like what you're saying, that the hate is shocking sometimes. But I go back to my first point, which is sometimes the hate is a way to recognize that Hashem is actually with us, and their hate is is against goodness, against godness, and that's why they're coming out at this time, because I guess, you know, the king is in the field.
No question about it. Great perspective as usual, Yishai. I take this opportunity to wish you a Chag Purim Sameach. Let's hope it is a peaceful and joyous Purim for all Jews around the world, especially for our brothers and sisters in the Holy Land. And thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Nachum, we need peace and happiness, but we also need that other part of Purim, which is to take down our enemies. That's the other side. Like, this Purim is not just peace and happiness. This Purim is also a battle. And we have to, you know, be in that mode that it's also time to not just, you know, it's not just having fun this Purim. It's also to pray for the victory of the Jewish people against the forces of Amalek in this world.
Yeah, understood, my friend. And hopefully those on this side of the world will use the opportunity when they're in touch with government officials and the media, etc., to make that point about the right and the need of our brothers and sisters to do what you just described. It's the least we could do on the front lines over here, if you can call it the front lines. And unfortunately, we see too many people in our community doing exactly the opposite. Yishai, todah rabah.
Thank you, Nachum. God bless you. Chag Purim Sameach.
Chag Purim Sameach. More coming up. It's a Wednesday at JM in the AM.